Pray with me. Pray for me and pray through me. God, we thank you. God, we thank you for being the type of God that knows what we need when we need it and knows what we need before we know what we need. We thank you for always providing, always making a way. We thank you, Lord, for your spirit that just rests, rules, and reigns in this place. We pray, God, that you would send your teacher and that your teacher would be the Holy Spirit. For you said you will lead us and guide us in all truth. And God, we thank you in advance. For you said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So we thank you in advance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 I'm already fired up. Amen. I want to start with a thank you. Seeing so many smiling faces, it just blesses my soul. So I want to let you know, thank you. There's a lot of things you could be doing on a Wednesday evening, but thank you that you are here serving God. Amen. Real quick, the Church of the Redeemer Baptist is a special place. I don't know if you know that or not. All you got to do is visit some other places to realize how blessed we are. We need to give God some praise for how we are blessed. Amen. Amen. Now, I miss church Sunday. But I understand the pastor made the announcement that I would be teaching. I think he said something about doing a thesis or something like that. There we go. So my heart is overwhelmed that you knew I would be here. really. What I want to talk about is Christianity through an Afrocentric lens. Now, what I mean by that, you know what a lens is, right? It's like a magnifying glass. And you could put a lens over some writing and you get a different perspective. You with me? For years and years and years and years, we've always had the European lens on Scripture. Most of our clergy have been educated in European institutions that have taught them the European lens. You see where I'm going? I've been blessed to sit at the feet of black PhDs for 5 years, 6 hours a week. I was blessed to have black PhDs pour inside of me. In other words, speak the scriptures in our context. So my major in school, I majored in what they call the black church, the African American church. And for me to graduate, I had to do a project. So the easiest project that I could do, because you know I'm like, y'all, I'm looking for the easy way. I'm being honest. Easy way was take something I'm already doing, but just take it up to another level. And what I was already doing in Rice is teaching the history of the black church, but adding a little bit to it from what I was learning. So the reason I took the black church is because I wanted to be a vessel for God to use in the black context. You understand what I'm saying? Not that I was limiting myself, but I'm in the black church more than I'm in a mainline church. I minister more to people that look like me than the people who don't look like me. So the more I can learn and the more I can have God shape me to be more effective, which is how I ended up here. Amen? So, what we want to do is walk through this. So, what I did was I put together four lessons for the 4 weeks. Tonight, which is week one, we're going to talk about the Garden of Eden. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to make an argument that the Garden of Eden was in Africa. I'm going to prove through Scripture that people of color were at the beginning. Okay? The second week, I'm going to look at the Old Testament. And I'm really going to take a look at the life of Moses. Now, I think in African Heritage Sunday, I preached Call Me Moses. But I only gave you a snippet. You know what I mean? Because you have to put it in a sermonic presentation. You can't really put it in a lesson. But we're really going to deal with the life of Moses, because in the sermon I only dealt with his birth. There's a whole lot more to that great black liberator named Moses. The third week, and I'm excited about the third week. I want to see the look on some of y'all faces. Matter of fact, I think the year before I did on African Heritage, How to Carry Your Cross, and I talked about Cyrene. Some of y'all caught it, but I talked about the gospel writer Mark was black. Now, I just mentioned it in the sermon, but I'm going to deal in depth with the life of Mark. Okay? Now, biblical scholars, because when you open your Bible to the New Testament, what's the first book you come to? For years, biblical scholars have thought that Matthew was the first gospel written. It was the gospel that was used most often because the church used it as a book of rules and regulations. But until recently, they have all come to the conclusion that the first gospel written was the gospel of Mark, and that was written by a black man. So we're going to deal with that. The last week, we're going to deal with the contributions that Africans made to Christianity. You with me? A lot of what's in Christianity today began in North Africa. And I'm going to talk about that in English so that we could all follow it. But that's basically the roadmap. And matter of fact, I might as well share this with you. Some people who had me in class, I had a class about the color of Christ. Well, I had that in my original project, but they told me take it out. But and I want to use that as a disclaimer that, you know how we label people and box people? Well, please don't do this to me. I'm not a radical. I just love black history. I love the history of my people. See, when a European talks about their history, they're called patriots. But when I talk about my history, I'm called a radical. So I hope y'all don't label me. But it's so important that we get to know our history. And I need to tell you, during these 4 weeks, I'm only just scratching the surface, really. I could go deep just staying in the Old Testament. But there is so much that they have not shared with us about our history in the Bible. Okay, the black presence in Scripture. All right, let's get started. Desired learning outcome. Keep in mind, this was my project. All right. So we're going to put a little twist on it. What my goal is, let's do it that way. I hope you can see this. My goal is to rebuke the false claim that Christianity is a white man's religion. If you want to make me mad and get underneath my skin, start telling me that Christianity is a white man's religion. For the record, there are three major religions. Anybody know what they are? Not Buddha, though. Not Buddhism, but right. All right, let me repeat them. Judaism, Christianity, Islam. Well, I'm talking about the major religions, three major religions, right? Three major religions. Not necessarily, but where I'm going is with the Bible. Okay, and Jews are in the Bible, but the three major religions, and what most people would agree, right, are Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. But even if I add your religion that you mentioned, but I won't be inclusive because I appreciate it. It still fits where I'm going. You with me? And where I'm going is, the three major religions plus the one mentioned, Hinduism, was not founded by Europeans. Were not founded by people with lighter skin and blue eyes. That's my point. So we're all in agreement there. You see where I'm going? So, but I want to stay on my block, Christianity. Christianity is not a white man's religion. The more you dig into it, Christianity, in essence, is an African religion. You with me? By people of color. Now, the reason, and I don't know if y'all can relate or identify, but I have never, ever, ever seen so many black people dressed in Muslim garb in my life. I've never seen it. Sometimes on a Friday afternoon, I could be in certain places and I'd be, oh my goodness, what is going on? And knowing what I know about Islam, in a way, I can understand why so many blacks go that way. And that's because they don't know the truth about Christianity. You familiar with a word called heresy? All right, heresy means false teaching. But the essence of heresy is they take a little bit of truth and put a twist on it, which makes it false. So if you don't know, the little bit of truth will catch you. And then you'll go following that, not knowing you're following a heresy. You with me? All right, let me keep going. The next thing I want to deal with is eradicate the incorrect assumption that slavery in America introduced Africans to Christianity. You with me? There's a large number of people, black people included, that think that if it had not been for slavery, we wouldn't have known Jesus. Thank God for the master. That's not true. There were Christians in Africa practicing Christianity that were caught up in the slave trade, that by the time they got here, they were still worshiping the true God. You with me? There's historical evidence that on a plantation in Virginia, these slaves was Christians. They knew God. So that's a lie. Now watch this. The black church in America, right? The black church in America was birthed out of slavery. But blacks knew Christianity long before then. You see the difference? The black church was birthed out of slavery because the master would only give us one sermon. And we knew there had to be more. Y'all know the sermon. Be good to your master. That's all they heard. Over and over. So we got to create our own thing because we know it's more than just that. All right, let me keep going. We want to highlight the African contribution to Christian thought. You know why that's important? I know you're taping and so on and so forth, but there's a group of people that think they're smarter than us. Think they're smarter than us. But a lot of the thought flowed north instead of south. In other words, it went from Africa to Europe, not from Europe to Africa. And we're going to take a look at that. And I got to tell you why this is important. When I get an opportunity to sit down and really talk to people about our richness in Scripture, because basically all I do is I open the Bible. I go from the book. That's how I was taught. And begin to uncover the richness in the book. You ought to see the look on people's faces. I mean, their self-esteem rises. They feel better about themselves. And it's just a blessing. So I'm grateful that you're here, and I pray that you share what you learn with other people. All right? I don't know where I'm at time-wise, but we'll let the Spirit have his way. All right. Let's begin in the beginning. Remember, my argument is that the Garden of Eden was in Africa. Now, I'm not sure if you can see the scripture or not, but I'm in Genesis chapter 2, verses 10 to 15. I'm in the book. In the book. Now, let me just share this too. It's not in my notes, but let me just put this out there. I don't use science to validate what I believe about God. You with me? I use God to validate what I believe by science. Let me connect it for you. Any intelligent person can tell you that the oldest living bones that have been found in the world were found where? I rest my case. That's science. But I'm talking about religion. So I use my religion to validate science. I don't use science the other way around. So we know that Africa is the birthplace of all civilization, all humanity. Let me give you one more free one before I get into the lesson. History. When you study history, people will only go back, a certain group of people will only go back so far. You with me? Everybody in here knows about the Nile River, right? The civilization along the Nile River, right? The Nile River civilization goes way, way back. But they won't go back that far with you. They won't go back that far. Anything, the sciences, mathematics, language, all that can be found written on the caves and in the pyramids, and all that was in Africa with us. All right, here we go. We were there? Genesis chapter 2. Watch my time. All right. It says, a river flows out of Eden to water the garden. And from there it divides and becomes four branches. The name of the first is the Pison. It is the one that flows around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. Bdellium and onyx stones are there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It is the one that flows around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris, and it flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took man and put him in the garden to till it and to keep it. You see that? All right. Now, right after God created Adam and Eve, you with me? And I am assuming, and I shouldn't assume, so I'll back up. Before that, around verse 7, chapter 2, it says that God formed man from the dust and breathed in his nostrils, and man became a living what? A living what? All right. What color is dust? Color is dust. Now watch, this is my favorite. For years, I could never figure out why my favorite restaurant is a soul food joint. I couldn't figure out why I want to listen to soul music. You with me? It's amazing. So Adam and Eve were people of color, right? Let's, to be politically correct, they were non-white. With me? So after God created non-white people, he created the garden for them to be at. By with me? All right. I'm going to go over these verses again. Can you see that? All right, I'm starting at the bottom to work my way up. Now, I don't know if you notice. All right, Sister Jackie, that's verses 10, 11, 12, and 13, right? Talk about two rivers. You with me? Verse 14, one verse talks about two rivers. These two rivers, the Tigris and the Euphrates, are still there today, and they still have the same name. You with me? They're still there today, and they still have the same name. There's one verse that talks about two rivers. But there's three verses that talk about two rivers whose names don't exist anymore. You follow me so far? All right. Now, what you see here, amen, thank you. What you see here is a map of North Africa, right? What's in red, Galilee, Jerusalem. Over here in the blue, we know is the Sinai and the Ten Commandments. You with me? So this portion is pretty much the known world at that time. You with me so far? So verse 14, one verse talks about two rivers that are still there today. Three verses talk about two rivers whose name have changed. I'm going somewhere. All right. Here's the three verses. You probably didn't beat me to where I'm going. The name of the first river is the Pison. Now, watch. I'm going to tell you in advance, huh? God is so good that God was able to look down the corridors of time and to see that they would change the names of the river. So God said, I'm going to use three verses and give such a description. You could change the name any way you want. It will still describe where the rivers are. That's how good God is. Watch this. So the first is the Pisan. That flows around the whole land of Havilah where there is gold. Right? And the gold of that land is good. And it begins to give the minerals that are there. Right? The name of the second river is the Gidon. And that one flows around the whole land of Cush. Now, I know I've got Bible scholars in the room that know that you need a Bible dictionary next to your Bible when you study it. So what you would want to do is look up Cush. And when you look up Cush, you'll see burnt face. Burnt face is an indication. That's us. That's us. Africa is known for being rich in gold and minerals. It's the description. Till this day, Africa is still rich in gold and minerals, right? Now, I don't know if you can see it this well, but it's showing you the Nile River, right? The Nile splits, and the Nile becomes two rivers. And today it is called the White Nile and the Blue Nile. Well, that's the Blue Nile and that's the White Nile. But you get the idea, right? So, verse 13, it says, the second river, the Gidon, is that one that flows around the land of burnt faces. That's Ethiopia. That's Africa. The second river, well, the first river, flows around the whole land of Havilah. Now, as you study geology in the Bible, Havilah is connected to Cush, and Havilah is also connected to Ham, right? Which was the dark. So it's all pointing you to these rivers going around. You with me? We already know that the first man was found where? God is telling us where the garden is. Now, we know that the Pisan and the Gidon River cannot be located today by those names. There's a reason for that. What is overlooked is the simple fact that the Nile River system includes both the White Nile and the Blue Nile, which is joined at present-day capital of Sudan. We know that the Nile River derives its name from the Latin word Nilus. You see where I'm going? So when the Bible was written, it hadn't been called the Nile yet. That's why it's not in the book. See, the Nile came, says the Eden tradition to scholars, around the 10th century of BC is when the Latin language, right, came into existence. So before then, they used different names. You got me? All right. And what happens is you get scholars that want to try to explain away our existence, that we're not in the book, that can't be true, all that. There's not enough evidence. Yes, there is. What you have, if you ever go to school and study theology, they will point you to the other two rivers, the Tigris and Euphrates. That is known as what they call the Fertile Crescent or the Near East. They will always start their history there instead of starting it in Africa. You with me? It's called the land of Mesopotamia. And then they begin by talking about Abraham and so on and so forth. But they just ignore or de-Africanize Scripture. All right. Genesis chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. It refers to the Pison River, and it describes its relationship to the land of Havilah. In Genesis 10:7, Havilah is said to be the son of Cush, Ethiopia, therefore helping to clarify the association between the Pison River and ancient Africa. You see the connection? Furthermore, it should be noted that the minerals, the gold, the dacalum, and the onyx of Havilah in Genesis 2:12, these were plentiful in biblical Africa, noticeably in Cush and Put. Now, do you remember that passage of scripture in Acts chapter 8 with the Ethiopian eunuch? He was the treasurer of Candace, right? Let me see if I contemporize it for you. All right. Solomon in Queen of Sheba, right? Maybe like a Jay-Z and a Beyonce. Right? So in scripture, you'll hear about the gold of Ophir in the book of Kings. I know y'all read the Bible. But it tells you that the Queen of Sheba set up a trade agreement, shall we say, with Solomon. So she would send the gold and the minerals to Solomon, and he sent back money. So this Ethiopian eunuch, right, who was the treasurer, that's what scripture says, doesn't it? He went to collect the money. That's what he was doing there, collecting the money. So what I'm trying to share with you is the resources in Africa. It's all in scripture. All the gold, all the minerals. It's all in the Bible. How rich it is. So God gives us a description of the land. All right. We doing good. So the second river in the Eden narrative has an integral relationship with Africa. Genesis 2:13 clearly states that the Gihon River compasses the land of Ethiopia, which is Cush. Doubtless we have an allusion to the Blue Nile. Lastly, modern scholars and Western scholarship have preferred to focus on Mesopotamia or the Fertile Crescent, where one finds the Tigris and Euphrates River rather than Africa. Similarly, these same scholars have created the non-African Middle East, which presides over the subtle process of de-Africanizing the entire ancient world. That is why we have to know our history and we have to tell our story. Let me share this with you. There was a white scholar. He went to Drew University, and his name is Thomas Odom, white guy. He's Thomas Odom, O-D-E-N. He's written three books, two of the three which I use in our lesson or these lessons. One book is The African Memory of Mark. The other book is Early Liberian Christianity. And the other book is The Seven Contributions That Early Africans Made to Christianity. But here's my point, though. This white scholar at Drew University, you know where Drew is? Drew is in Northern Jersey. Very prestigious university. So he's there, and he's doing his research. And every ending point of what he was researching took him to Northern Africa, which blew his mind. He never knew the richness of African history and our contribution to Christianity, which caused him to write the three books. But in the book, he talks about how we, as Africans, must tell our story. We must tell our history. We've got to educate our children. And it's real, it was really mind-boggling. Now, when you're reading scripture, one thing that really impressed me as I was studying, and I'm talking about in terms of Christianity being a white man's religion. In the Bible, you'll find Rome 20 times. In the Bible, you'll find Greece 26 times. In the Bible, you'll find Ethiopia 40 times. In the Bible, you will find Egypt over 700 times. And Egypt is where? And it's so interesting that there's so much about Egypt that a lot of times they want us to think Egypt is not part of Africa. Not only that, but what country is right next to Egypt? The other way. That's all right. Libya. And in Libya, you have the cities of Alexandria and Cyrene. There's such a rich history in Libya that we're conditioned not even to go any further than Egypt. You with me? See, in Libya, we're conditioned to think of Gaddafi and not even see past that. Northern Europe is not mentioned nowhere in the Bible. Nowhere. 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 Yes, ma'am. Northern Europe is not mentioned nowhere. Now, I'm going to end with this. The word Africa, 7:48, good time. The word Africa is not in the Bible, okay? There's a reason for that. A Roman general by the name of General Africanus, I don't know y'all know this, when he conquered the land, there was a tradition that you name the land after the conquering general. And that's where the name Africa comes from. Now, being a historian, dates are important. So that happened in 300. You with me? After the Bible was written. That's why the word Africa doesn't appear in the scriptures. But we're in the book. We're in the book by different names. Ethiopia used to be referred to the whole continent of Africa as opposed to just that region. So we're in the book. When you see Abyssinians, that's describing black people. You'll also see the term Nubian. We use it differently today than they used it then, but you know what I mean. And Cushites. Talking about us with the burnt faces. Amen? Amen. Any questions?